This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, March 25th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for tuning in. Later on this edition of Ozarks at Large, John Jetter, the conductor of the Fort Smith Symphony, makes his first visit to KUAF since late January. He'll discuss the upcoming April 16th concert by the symphony. Becca Bacon-Martin has the rest of what we should look forward to over the course of the next week, and much more, including another performance from the Mary Baker Rumsey Piano, the Steinway, inside the Furman Garner studio. All of that and more ahead on Ozarks at Large. We begin this edition with a story about a package of bills that was submitted to the Arkansas legislature. The legislation would support, advocates say, more responsible natural gas development inside Arkansas's borders. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports on the bill's outcome this week.
The so-called Fayetteville Shale Play covers 13 counties across North Arkansas and is considered by the industry to be a world-class onshore natural gas resource. 14,000 gas wells are projected on the play, with 7,000 already drilled. An additional 1,700 are planned on the Ozark-St. Francis National Forest. The national gas industry is exempt from most major federal environmental law, including the Safe Drinking Water Act, the Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, Superfund Law, and disclosure laws to inform communities of toxic chemical emissions. So regulation falls to states. Here, the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality has ecological oversight of any above-bore activity, while the state's Oil and Gas Commission monitors below-bore pollution. Bill Kopsky is director of the Arkansas Public Policy Panel based in Little Rock. He works with a coalition of 49 community groups called the Citizens First Congress. They believe not enough natural gas drilling oversight is in place. So this legislative session, along with a handful of state legislators, the group introduced a package of 7 bills, 1 in the Senate, 6 in the House, to support responsible natural gas development in Arkansas. The measures were considered this week, starting in the House Agriculture Committee.
The first bill that they heard extensive testimony on was House Bill 1394 by Representative Lenderman, and that's to improve water quality. The bill had several key provisions, but the most important of which would simply have ended the exemption from the Arkansas Water and Air Protection Act that the industry currently enjoys. We don't think that it makes any rational sense to give the gas industry and no one else an exemption from the water laws that every other industry in the state has to follow, particularly because of the gas industry's very dangerous potential to harm water quality. There were some other provisions of the bill that would have required the gas companies to do testing where there's a possibility of testing of nearby water sources when there's a possibility that they've had a leak, to improve their casing standards and their the cementing of the well shaft. Contentions is that the biggest danger of contamination from these wells isn't from the fracking technique specifically, but it's actually just from improper cementing and casing being followed. It's similar to what the BP oil spill in the Gulf was. It really, at the end of the day, it was just a bad cementing job. And so we suggested that the industry be required to follow their own industry best practices on the way that's done. The bill testimony was heard on both sides. We had landowners did great testimony for the bill. Industry expressed concerns, particularly that they think that the bills are so expensive to implement that they would drive the industry out of business. We don't think that's a very credible claim. Most of what we propose in the bill is already required in other states where the industry is thriving. But Lenderman did bring the bill up for a vote, and it failed on a voice vote. And so we expect him to bring the bill into an interim study once the session ends. The Agriculture Committee was very gracious, even those who spoke against the bill, and being very kind of acknowledging that there are some serious water quality concerns with the industry. Industry representatives themselves seem to acknowledge that there are some very serious water quality concerns with their practices. After that, the sponsors realized that the rest of the bills would likely run into the same trouble. So the other sponsors, Representative Webb, Webb and Representative Letting there from Fayetteville and Representative Pierce, they all immediately recommended that their bills go into interim study as well. So we're expecting to have hearings during the interim period. We really dig deep into these other bills. The other bills, to quickly summarize, there's House Bill 1396 by Representative Webb that would require far more disclosure from the gas companies on how much water they're using, what chemicals they're using, how their waste is being disposed, things that we think the public has a real critical right to know. Representative Pierce had the Rural Good Neighbor Act that was really more of a noise ordinance to limit the amount of noise coming from the gas wells. If you have a gas well 200 feet from your front door, the noise can be really burdensome. Representative Letting from Fayetteville had an Air Quality Protection Act, and that's similar to the air to the water bill, and the industry is currently exempt from the Arkansas Water and Air Protection Act, and the most critical part of this air bill would have ended that exemption for the industry that, again, we think is unjustified. The other thing that it did that we thought should have been non-controversial is it would have required the industry to use all cost-effective means of controlling air pollution. There's a lot of things that the industry could be doing now that wouldn't cost them very much. If any, some of it would actually save them money to reduce air emissions, and for some reason they seem opposed to that. I believe it was also Representative Letting. I also had a bill to improve inspections and enforcement at the Department of Environmental Quality and the Oil and Gas Commission, calling for more inspections of the wells, particularly during critical times when contamination is more likely. And also, importantly, calling on the departments to each issue an annual report to the legislature describing their inspection program and the enforcement actions that took place as a result of it. The legislature should really be doing a better job of watchdogging the agencies to make sure that they're doing an adequate job of inspecting and then also enforcing when they find problems. The final two bills, Representative Webb had a bill to increase bonding to make sure that the gas companies meet their financial obligations to close the wells once they're done. These wells are expected to last somewhere between 15 and 25 years. Afterwards, they're going to need to be plugged. Arkansas already has a problem with abandoned wells, and there's the significant risk that taxpayers could be left on the hook for the costs of closing these wells once the companies have left. And then finally, Representative Pierce had House Bill 1400, which was a landowner's bill of rights. A lot of landowners contacted us and expressed, concerns about the way that the companies were treating them, not being given notification on when the company was coming on their property, not being really informed of their rights when they negotiated contracts and leases. And this bill would have addressed some of those issues.
Kopsky said around 200 oil and gas industry reps were on hand at the committee meeting, along with 150 concerned landowners.
I think a critical thing about the debate is the industry really attacked the supporters of these bills, saying that they were not from the communities where the gas production is occurring and that these were radical proposals that would make it impossible to be financially successful in the gas industry. Both those claims are ridiculous. We develop these bills, frankly, with landowners from the communities that are affected by gas drilling. And this morning, all the testimony on behalf of these bills was from residents of the counties where the gas drilling is occurring. Our whole base pushing this issue is coming from the counties where the gas industry is, because that's where the concerns are. It's where the landowners are seeing the air quality, the water quality, and the property rights violations occurring, and they think their property rights ought to count as much as the industry's.
Bill Kopsky says claims that this legislation is trying to drive the natural gas industry out of the natural state is false.
Again, we did a report that we issued about 2 weeks ago now, I suppose, that was called Model Oil and Gas Laws, Regulations, and Ordinances. And what we did is hired researchers to look at how other states across the country with natural gas plays regulate the industry in their states. And we highlighted best practices from all those places. And this package of bills contained the vast majority of what's done in other states. There's very little here that we propose that's not currently being required somewhere else.
Bill Kopsky said members of the Arkansas Public Policy Panel, legislators, industry, and concerned citizens plan to work together to try to reach consensus on best management practices for the natural gas drilling industry in Arkansas. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Arkansas Public Policy Panel has just released a 45-page document titled Arkansas in Balance, Managing Risk of Shale Gas Development in the Natural State. It's available for free online at arpanel.org. That's arpanel.org. And this is Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. As we know, Northwest Arkansas, specifically Washington and Benton counties, have grown tremendously in the last 10 years. The latest census figures tell us that. But not every community has grown. We'll read about some of the towns that actually shrunk in the last 10 years in the Sunday edition of Northwest Arkansas newspapers. That feature that includes the Morning News, the Northwest Arkansas Times, the Benton County Daily Record. The man who investigated and wrote the story is Dan Kraft, special projects reporter at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers, and he's in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio with me. Welcome, Dan.
Hi, Kyle.
We just assumed that everything grew in the last 10 years, but that's not quite the case?
Not according to the census numbers. Obviously, the big boom was obvious to anyone who spent any time up here, but there were a few small communities sort of further off the beaten path that actually lost population over that decade.
And you went to three of them to kind of get a feel of these communities.
That's right. The three in Benton and Washington counties that actually lost population were Winslow, which is in far southern Washington County, not far from the Bobby Hopper Tunnel.
Right.
Sulphur Springs, which is a small community in far northwestern Benton County, and Springtown, which is an even smaller burg along Arkansas 12, not far past Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport if you're headed west.
I want to talk about Winslow in a minute, because I think most people know where Winslow is, because even if you've never been there, if you drive on 540, you see the exit.
You do. The exit's actually about 6 miles from downtown, and that wasn't the case until 540 opened.
Right. I mean, it was much closer to 71.
Right. Old 71 basically ran right through the middle of Winslow, and the folks I talked to down there said that when the big highway opened in 98, the loss they saw at that point was jobs and economics as the big trucks and the tourist traffic moved further from town.
The other two that you mentioned, Springtown and Sulphur Springs, I bet there are a lot of people in Northwest Arkansas who have not been there and don't know if they've ever been close.
I had never been to Sulphur Springs myself until me and one of our photographers went out there looking for some folks to talk to. Turns out in some of these communities, even that can be a challenge.
So what's Sulphur Springs like?
It is little more than a wide spot in the road these days along Arkansas 59. There's a lot of old brick or stonework buildings that sort of reminded us of Eureka Springs. The old hotels, say 1903, 1910, you can tell the place has been there a while. But according to the census figures, they're down to just 511 residents, which is 160 less than they had just 10 years ago.
In Springtown, which is also in Benton County,
has never even been that large. They started out in 2000 with 114 folks. They're down to 87 now. And in our wandering around the two square blocks, we only ran into one living person who turned out to be the mayor.
Well, I guess if you're going to have a mayor, it should be the living person you can find. Of any of these towns that you talked to people in, was there any concern that, you know, this is a trend that starts you down the road to oblivion eventually?
No, there wasn't a whole lot of thought that the town would flat out disappear. Most of them were citing a few reasons. We couldn't find really anyone in Sulphur Springs to talk to, at least as of our taping. But in Sulphur Springs and Winslow, you've got an older population, a lot of retired folks, and that leads to one of the factors we will talk about on Sunday.
And Winslow also used to have a school district.
They did.
And they were consolidated.
Right. And a lot of the families moved out when the schools consolidated with Greenland. A lot of the younger folks who had kids moved to be closer to the Greenland schools or maybe West Fork, Mountain Burg, some of the other districts in the area.
In conjunction with the article on Sunday, will there be a map that, I mean,
that'll show us where they're at?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like you said, a lot of people probably have been through Winslow at least once. But Springtown, Sulphur Springs, not somewhere you're just going to stumble across.
You mean to go there, generally.
Yeah, you better have it in mind as a destination.
Yeah. I really now want to see Silver. I have to admit, I don't think I've been to Silver Springs. I want to see these hotel buildings.
They're very cool. Like I said, a lot of them, the hotels are long gone. But one of them is part of a Christian retreat now. Another one appears to be some sort of a warehousing operation. Very small, but you can tell by the architecture, it's been there a while.
So what else will we find out in Sunday's article?
Well, we've seen some numbers that, and some of this we've reported before, that some of these small towns have actually grown 3-4 times. Centerton was just a small community outside Bentonville until the building boom, and now it's full of subdivisions. Some of these towns are much bigger physically than they used to be. There's also an interesting case with the town of Little Flock, which is one of those several kind of crammed in and around the Rogers-Springdale area. The census shows they're holding steady over 10 years at exactly the same number of residents. We talked to the mayor about that, and he's not so sure.
But the census shows exactly the same number.
2,585.
For everyone who left, someone came in, and vice versa.
Either that or nobody moved.
And this will all be in the article that's in Sunday, the Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
That's right.
All right, Dan, thank you very much.
Cool. Kyle, I appreciate it.
Hungarian composer, pianist, and ethnomusicologist Béla Bartók was born on this date in 1881. He was an accomplished pianist at an early age. In 1904, he set about researching Hungarian folk music, having discovered that the folk music repertory generally accepted as Hungarian was in fact largely urban Roma music. His fieldwork with the composer Zoltán Kodály formed the basis for his later research in the field. And he published major studies of Hungarian, Romanian, and Slovakian folk music. He worked folk themes and rhythms into his own music, achieving a style that was at once nationalistic and deeply personal. He also toured widely as a virtuoso pianist. In 1940, he immigrated to the U.S., where he had great difficulty making a living. His works include the opera Bluebeard's Castle in 1911, 6 celebrated string quartets, the didactic piano set Microcosmos, Sonata for 2 pianos and percussion, Concerto for orchestra, and 3 piano concertos. Pioneer cinematographer Freeman Owens was honorably discharged from the U.S. Marines on this date in 1922. Owens is credited with 11,812 inventions, among them the A.C. Nielsen rating system, a plastic lens for Kodak, and the method for adding synchronized sound to film. Owens died on December 9, 1979, at the age of 89, and is buried at Bellwood Cemetery in his native town of Pine Bluff. He was inducted into the Arkansas Entertainers Hall of Fame in Pine Bluff on October 3, 2003, and was inducted into the Arkansas Walk of Fame in Hot Springs on December 6, 2003. Britain abolished its slave trade on this date in 1807. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Iti Agnihotri Motolkar.
It is a Friday edition of Ozarks at Large, the Friday of spring break. And for many people, this has been a week of vacation.
Yes.
Not for everybody.
Not for everyone.
But we still think, whether you've been on vacation or not, there are a few things you should know about as we move into the weekend.
University of Arkansas Chancellor Dr. G. David Gearhart will visit to Fort Smith High Schools on March 29th to encourage students to attend college, preferably the University of Arkansas. The chancellor recently made a similar visit to West Memphis High School and addressed the students during an assembly.
And while the chancellor may be hoping that he's talking to some future diploma holders, diplomas from the University of Arkansas, the university will award 4 honorary degrees during commencement ceremonies May 14th in Bud Walton Arena. You probably know that the first degree will be awarded to the Dalai Lama for his human rights efforts and nonviolent resistance. The Dalai Lama, of course, will be in Fayetteville in May. He'll receive a Doctor of Humane Letters degree. An honorary Doctor of Laws degree will be awarded to Lewis Epley Jr. for leadership in his community, as well as on the University of Arkansas Board of Trustees. On a side note, Lewis Epley will be on Ozarks at Large on on Monday, a story that Antoinette Grajeda is working on about the Fayetteville Rotary Club and its efforts to help end polio worldwide. Other honorary degrees to Christopher Mercer, another recipient. He served a key role in the Arkansas Civil Rights Movement. And B. Allen Sugg will be awarded a Doctor of Humane Letters degree for leading the University of Arkansas system since 1990. That's happening in May. Tomorrow, the University of Arkansas will formally announce Mike Anderson's arrival as the Arkansas Razorback men's basketball new head coach. The announcement will be made tomorrow morning at 10:30 on the court at Bud Walton Arena.
And Bentonville High School and Teen Cancer Challenge will host the first annual Laps for Life Walkathon at the Bentonville High School Track and Soccer Stadium on April 2nd. The event will benefit the Cancer Challenge in its course to support cancer awareness, treatment, and support in Northwest Arkansas. More than 30 teams with over 250 students and supporters are expected to participate.
Renowned equine extremist Tommy Turvey. I don't know what an equine extremist is, but renowned equine extremist Tommy Turvey will participate in the 12th Annual Horse Festival. That's the annual fundraiser for the Dorothy E. King Equine Program at the University of Arkansas. Turvey is an accomplished horseman, has been on a number of television commercials, in rodeos, and international and national horse expos and shows. He recently worked with actor Heath Ledger on Batman. The event takes place at the Pauline Whitaker Animal Science Center April 8th and 9th.
Fayetteville Solid Waste and Recycling Division will have their first of the four bulky waste cleanups in spring tomorrow. Workers will accept waste such as couches, mattresses, appliances, carpet, etc. free of charge tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. At two places, at Owl Creek School on 375 North Ruppel Road and Shaver Foods behind the Randall Tyson Track Center. No household hazardous waste will be accepted. Residents will be required to bring a recent water bill to prove their residency.
But it's free otherwise.
It is.
Okay. Ithi, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kyle.
Have a great weekend in between spring break and non-spring break.
I hope you have one too.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Becca Bacon-Martin, editor of What's Up Found in Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Doing a little spring happy dance.
Because it's spring.
Because it's spring. And, you know, spring means music in yes. parks and on patios. Music in the air.
Indoors, outdoors, just about everywhere.
And this is a very musical weekend. So, we're going to run through about six or seven different things. Hang on.
I'm hanging.
Airmen of note.
From the Air Force.
They are one of eight performing units of the United States Air Force Band, and they are the premier jazz ensemble, and they're going to be all over our listening area this weekend and next week.
Going to be at Springdale. I think they're going to be in Fort Smith. Why don't you tell us where they're going to be?
I think I will. They're going to be in Fort Smith at 7:30 on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in Springdale at 7 o'clock on Wednesday.
At the Springdale High School?
Yes, at the Springdale High School. And a whole mass of other places that we'll talk about after we talk about Senior Master Sergeant Joe Jackson of Dallas. Mm-hmm. Who is the musical director and plays lead trombone. I'm fascinated how people end up in military bands. He was playing, after he attended the University of North Texas, he was playing with the Maynard Ferguson Band.
Now, of course, if anyone knows about North Texas, their music department is renowned.
Right.
In Denton, Texas, yeah.
And so he was playing with the Maynard Ferguson Band and was contacted by the Airmen of Note and asked to audition.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
You don't enlist first and then?
No. Oh. No, you are asked to audition.
And let's say then they say you're good enough at trombone to be in, then you enlist?
And then you enlist, and then you go to basic training at Lackland Air Force Base, Texas.
I bet when he joined the Maynard Ferguson Band, he didn't have to go through basic training.
He says they have to do everything. Well, the quote is, we're airmen first and musicians second.
Wow.
So they have to do everything that any other Air Force officer has to do. And they perform 2 to 3 weeks in the spring. Then they perform a summer concert series in D.C. And then they perform all during the fall. And they host the Jazz Heritage Series, which has people like Al Jarreau playing. Mm-hmm. And they record. And they play state funerals and presidential parade, the inauguration right. parade. And yeah. And so getting to see them for free mm-hmm. is pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the rundown.
Give it to me.
7 o'clock Saturday at the Connor Performing Arts Center in Little Rock.
Okay.
8 o'clock Sunday at the Jones Performing Arts Center at Wachita Baptist University in Arkadelphia.
Uh-huh.
7:30 Monday at Reynolds Performance Hall at UCA.
Okay.
7:30 Tuesday at the Stubblefield Center at the University of Arkansas in Fort Smith. Mm-hmm. And 7 o'clock Wednesday at the Springdale High School Performing Arts Center. All of those performances are free. They do ask that you have tickets. So like for the Springdale performance, contact KUAF or KERM Radio.
Okay.
At UA Fort Smith, 788-7300, their regular box office. And you can find all the rest of the location numbers in What's Up Today.
Okay.
Now, coming Saturday for 2 shows to the Walton Arts Center, one of the great jazz guitarists of our time.
Who's 23.
His name's Julian Lage, and Kyle and I are depressed now. I'm not a big jazz fan.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't let anybody hurt me.
Okay.
I'm interested in this guitarist. The performance he's doing is based on a fictional town,
mm-hmm.
Gladwell.
Right.
Sounds really interesting. It's his second album to be released April 26th.
I've heard it because there was a promotional copy that made its way into the station, and it's really good. It's really good.
And it's really interesting that he's 26, and his first album was nominated for a Grammy.
And 2 shows
mm-hmm.
at the Star Theater in Walton Arts Center.
8 and 10 on Saturday. Tickets are $16 to $30, 443-5600. If you're over in the Harrison side of our listening area, mm-hmm. there's a music festival called Dizo happening starting at 1 o'clock on Saturday at Minnie Harris Park.
It's called what now?
Dizo.
As in, how's that spelled?
D-E-E-Z-O.
Just like it sounds.
No, I don't know why.
Okay.
But I do know that the Ja Kings are playing and a bunch of other bands, including Knife Death, Snake Fighter. I wish you could see Kyle's face. Susie Trash, The Milk-Eyed Monsters, Space Tones, and Bringers of the Dawn. How about a band called Airborne Toxic Event?
They're going to be here.
They are. They're a Los Angeles rock band. They've played at Lollapalooza. Mm-hmm. They played at the Voodoo Music Experience in New Orleans. They're going to be here for a free show at 9 o'clock Tuesday at the Greek Theater on the University of Arkansas campus. The opening band for Airborne Toxic Event is called Rough Drafts with mm-hmm. a Z.
I like that.
They're local. They won a campus battle of the bands. So doors open at 8 o'clock.
All right.
Okay. Let's get a little more...
Traditional?
Yes. Okay. That's a perfect word. Tuesday, starting at the Walton Arts Center for 8 shows, 100 Years of Broadway.
Right.
A musical review with 5 Broadway stars whose names you will not recognize, but they've played some major roles, because, you know, who knows the name of the Phantom of the Opera.
Right.
And they'll do music from Phantom and Cats and Les Mis and Jesus Christ Superstar and more. And shows are at 7 Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 8 o'clock next Friday, 2 and 8 on Saturday, and 2 and 7 next Sunday. And tickets start at $23.
And one of those shows, some local people will be on stage with them who won a contest.
Yes.
And have a chance to sing with them on stage.
Yes. So that'll be fun. Hayes Carl.
Love Hayes Carl.
You know he's going to be in town.
When is he going to be in town?
He's going to be in town on Wednesday.
At George's?
Mm-hmm. He has a new album.
Yes, he does.
Do you know what the new album the title means?
Well, it's an old military slang because it's, what is it, YMAG?
KMAG.
Which, figure out, it's KISS.
Yeah.
Right.
Guys.
Right.
YOYO, you're on your own.
Right. It's an old military term, like FUBAR or SNAFU.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm all excited about this, so you'll be hearing this phrase from me now. He will be at George's on Wednesday, and tickets to the 9 o'clock show are $12.
One of the best songwriters in America right now, Hayes Carl.
And just because we need to remind you, everybody knows it's Kite Festival time, and the Kite Festival at Turpentine Creek in Eureka Springs is this Saturday,
mm-hmm.
10 to 4.
That's tomorrow.
Go have fun.
Becca Bacon Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blue Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday, and we are listening to the music of Pine Top Perkins and Big Jack Johnson. We lost Pine Top this week. We lost Big Jack last week. So tune in Friday and celebrate the music of both Pine Top and Big Jack Johnson. And that's every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums, and my guest in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio at this time is John Jeter, the director and conductor at the Fort Smith Symphony.
How are you?
I'm good. You made it through all the snow.
Yeah. Yeah, we just, our previous two concerts, the one with Byron Stripling, well, it was 75 degrees.
You know, that was that Saturday.
That was that Saturday. And then the next weekend, the next Sunday, we had a rehearsal and then the Earquake performances. And there was just the window.
You may be the only organization in like 70 counties
right.
that managed to dodge it all.
Yeah, but the problem was you know, we have people in the orchestra from all over. So you have people in, you know, from like Joplin to Northwest Arkansas, you know, calling in a day and a half before saying, well, we're totally, you know, iced mm-hmm. in. So anyway, we kept on and we were able to do the concerts in Fort Smith. We were able to get up to Rogers and Bentonville and do the performance in Bentonville. And then, of course, 2 days later, the pipes broke at the Aaron Arts Center. And there you have it. So, yeah, we made it.
Yes. Now, I won't guarantee that snow won't be a problem on April 16th, but I'd be shocked for your next concert.
I think I'm thinking we'll be all right. Okay. Yes. Saturday evening, April 16th at 7:30 p.m. at the Arkansas Best Corporation Performing Arts Center in downtown Fort Smith. The Fort Smith Symphony is presenting a very unique concert as part of our subscription series, and it's kind of a historic concert. It is a concert that features the music of William Grant Still exclusively. We're doing three of his works on this program. It's the first program we've done in a long time where there are no soloists, you know, no concerto soloists. And the concert is a recognition, celebration of the completion of the first ever recorded cycle of William Grant Still's symphonies, recorded by the Fort Smith Symphony for the Naxos label. I think anyone who's kind of heard about what we've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years knows that we have a nice relationship with that label. They are the largest classical label in the world. It's a great thing, really. And we are in the process of recording all of Still's symphonies. There are five of them. And what we're going to be doing on April 16th is we're going to be performing symphonies number 2 and 3 by Still. We're also performing a real pretty piece called Wood Notes. It's a four-movement piece. It's really a very descriptive work. And we're going to perform those. And in fact, when people are there at the concert, they're going to see the orchestra set up slightly differently, and you're probably going to see all sorts of microphones and stuff everywhere.
Because I imagine this is where you are going to...
This is where we're going to record it, and what we'll do is we're going to do the performance, and then the next 2 days on Sunday and Monday will be recording. It'll be about 12 hours of recording sessions to make this final CD. It'll be available as a CD download for Naxos. To take part in the festivities, William Grant Still's daughter, Judith Ann Still, will be joining us. She'll be our hostess for the evening, and she'll be doing a presentation pre-concert about her father and his music. And it's a really exciting, historic evening on a lot of levels. And of course, William Grant Still has a special place for us here because he's Arkansas's composer. Yes, he was born in Mississippi. That's true. But he moved to Little Rock at age 3 or 4 and spent all his formative years in Arkansas and then, of course, moved on mm-hmm. to a very significant career in music. His importance in music and in American music comes from the fact that he was the first African-American composer to write symphonies and operas that were performed and accepted into the traditional symphony and operatic world, if you will, works that were composed by an African-American. And he had a lot of success in his lifetime. There was also a lot of adversity, you can imagine, and racism was still running rampant at the time. It sort of followed him his whole career. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's not more well-known. But the music's great. There's actually a William Grant Still Archive here at the University of Arkansas.
Right.
And it's just a really neat thing. We decided to bring people in to hear the music.
The CD recording that takes place after the concert.
Yes.
Will then eventually turn into the third CD.
That'll be the third CD. And over the course of the three CDs, we will have recorded all five symphonies. And what's been really interesting for customers, for Naxos, is we've also done some works that don't have symphony in the title, but they're major orchestral works by Still. There's a piece called Africa. A beautiful piece called In Memoriam. Those are on our first CD. The second CD has a piece on it called Poem for Orchestra. And then, of course, Wood Notes that we're talking about will be on this third CD. Many of the works that we'll record over this cycle have been world premiere recordings. Not everything. Now, on this last disc that we're doing, there have been one commercial recording each of Symphony No. 2 and 3. So there's a precedence there. It'll be the first recording of Wood Notes, which I was surprised. Wood Notes is one of those pieces where I would think it would have been. There had to at least be a couple recording because it's very accessible. There's a couple things about the concert. I would encourage people to come because it's such a unique event. It's music that people aren't going to probably be super familiar with. His style of music is very much along the lines of George Gershwin, Aaron Copland, definitely that 1920s, 30s, 40s Americana style. All of the music is infused with some jazz and blues. And within what's been neat about the recordings is, although it's all his music, all the pieces on the recordings have been very different. And on this program, there's no exception. Wood Notes is a very lyrical. It's a tone poem. It's a great soundtrack for a film score. The third symphony is more of a almost like folk music. You know, you would almost hear parts of it on a pops program. And then the second symphony is more of your serious American/Austro-Germanic symphony. So it's a real nice mix of music.
There is some time between now and April 16th. People interested? Generally, if not always, these concerts sell out?
Yeah, and I would say this concert will probably be one that people are going to maybe... It's a great concert. I think on the surface, they might be a little more hesitant because the music's totally, you know... That's why we're recording it. It's not well-known music. But it's very accessible music, and I think it'll be a really interesting evening. We're going to spend a little bit of time, not much, but a little bit of time on stage talking about the music and hearing a few examples. And more for the whole evening. When you listen to Still's music, this is what you need to listen for. Bang, 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 bang. People can call for tickets. 452-7575 is the symphony number. And you can get online and get concert information. And we're real excited to do it. And I'll leave everyone with this teaser. But when we have that third CD in our hands, we feel like we can then go to some larger sponsorship options and consider another recording that would be a lot larger. So that's kind of a long-term goal of ours.
John, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large for the final Friday of March 2011. If you heard our program yesterday, you know that the Steinway Piano in the Furman Garner Performance Studio was dedicated this week as the Mary Baker Rumsey Piano. Aurelian Bacard, a student at the University of Arkansas, performed at the dedication ceremony, but he's not the only talented piano student at the university to play the piano inside the studio this week. Yaniv Tabenhaus sat down with Robert Ginsberg, host of KUAF Shades of Jazz, to talk about growing up in Israel, his move last year to Fayetteville, and about his life in music. You can hear the conversation and Yaniv play the Mary Baker Rumsey Piano tonight on Shades of Jazz, beginning at 10 o'clock on KUAF. And for this edition of Ozarks at Large, we have a preview. We'll hear Yaniv play one of my favorite songs, Spring Can Hang You Up the Most.
It's a beautiful jazz standard that I love very much, and especially in this time of the year, I must say, in Israel, there's not really springtime. I mean, there is as far as the nature goes. I mean, you can tell there's a certain period of time just before summer when the trees gets really green, and because after that, everything becomes yellow. But it's still the temperature of spring is, it can be there for 1 week or it cannot. And for me, last year in New York, it was the first time when I really experienced real spring. And it was absolutely beautiful. And I used to play this song all the time. And now it's time.
All right, let's hear how spring has inspired you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yaniv Tavenhaus performing Spring Can Hang You Up the Most on the Mary Baker Rumsey Piano inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. His conversation with Robert Ginsberg can be heard tonight on Shades of Jazz beginning at 10 o'clock on KUAF. Other pieces performed on the Steinway Piano that you can hear tonight on Shades of Jazz include On the Street Where You Live and an original composition titled The Most. This is Ozarks at Large. Wow, just enough time left to tell you that Ozarks at Large is supported by Collier Drugstores, offering a prescription refill hotline and local delivery from one of Collier's 7 locations, now including Bentonville. Most insurance plans are accepted, and information can be found on the web at collierdrug.com. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Blue Eye. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for listening. Antoinette Grajeda has Sunday Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9.